Third floor, third door on your right. His room.
Shasta merely smiled. Regis bounded up the stairs, not slowing until he came to the appointed door. He started to knock, but paused and crinkled his nose, for inside he heard the sound of someone violently vomiting. He had heard this sound many times before. He gripped the doorknob and slowly turned it, slipping quietly into the room. Across the way, before a dirty window, Ivor Breen kneeled, hunched over a bucket, choking and spitting. Eventually, he became aware of Regis's presence, for he turned and looked at his son and began to laugh crazily. Only then did Regis notice not one, but two full bottles of whiskey standing by the wall behind the kneeling halfling.
"Ah, but she's the finest of days, my boy!"
Ivor Breen tried to stand, but he overbalanced, staggered, and pitched headlong into the side wall, crumbling to the floor and laughing maniacally all the way.
"Father, what? You got a bag full?"
Ivor Breen asked, his tone suddenly changing to one of grave importance.
"Good dive, was it? Tell me so, tell me so!"
Staring at Ivor Breen, Regis lifted his bulging pouch. He had seen his father drunk before, of course, indeed many times. But night hadn't even fallen, and this level of drunkenness took him aback. The two bottles of whiskey just sat there, promising to keep Ivor Breen glowing until he finally passed out.
"How?"
he asked.
"Where did you get the coin?"
Ivor Breen began to laugh.
"Good that you filled it,"
he said, spittle flying with every word. He staggered toward Regis, veering wildly across the floor, sliding down near the unopened bottles.
"Can't disappoint that one."
"What one?"
"Father."
Regis moved over and grabbed Ivor Breen's arm, just as the older halfling reached for one of the bottles. Ivor Breen yanked free of his grasp and fixed an angry stare on him.
"You give me the pouch,"
he demanded. Regis hesitated.
"Now is not the time to get stupid, boy,"
Ivor Breen scolded, and he thrust his hand out at Regis.
"You need to sleep. The pouch!"
Ivor Breen shouted, thrusting his hand forth again.
"And you get back out there in the morning and fill another one. No, two. We can't be disappointing him."
"Who?" Regis asked. But Ivor Breen had apparently forgotten him and shifted around to grab a bottle instead, fumbling around with a cork. Regis knew better than to try to take it. He left the room in a hurry and rushed downstairs, jumping up onto a stool right before Shasta Furfoot.
"What have you done?"
he demanded.
"I?"
the woman innocently replied.
"We're not paying,"
Regis shouted.
"Who asked you to?"
But,
Regis stammered.
"Been paid, little one,"
Shasta calmly explained.
"Paid evermore."
Regis tried to sort it out, shaking his head helplessly.
"Who?"
"Don't you bother yourself with such details," Shasta said. "You get your oysters for your da, and do as he tells you." "He's too drunk to tell me anything worth hearing."
One of the patrons near him snickered at that remark, and Regis resisted the urge to walk over and punch the human in the nose.
"None of my business," Shasta Furfoot replied.
"And you gave him two more bottles,"
Regis protested.
"He will be drunk for..."
"Not my problem,"
the barkeep emphatically interrupted, coming forward threateningly as she did.
"Now go away before I paddle your backside."
Regis slipped down from the stool and backed away a step.
"Who paid is all I want to know,"
he said quietly.
"I have to give these to him."
He hoisted the pouch.
"Me da says so, but couldn't tell me who before he fainted away."
"He just give them to me,"
Shasta explained, holding out her hand. Regis hesitated.
"Grandfather," said the nearby patron when Shasta hesitated. "Those will be Grandfather Pericolo's oysters, then."
"Aye, and I'll get them to him,"
Shasta Furfoot insisted, and she tried to grab the pouch from Regis, who proved too quick for her. Regis swallowed hard.
He had never met the famed Pericolo Topolino, though like everyone in this section of Del Funtel, and surely every halfling in the city, he had heard many stories of him, mostly stories ending with someone's untimely and violent death. He kept backing away, and before he had even realized it, he had backed right out of the tavern and onto the street. He looked up at the top floor of the building and pictured Ivorbreen, pouring another bottle down his throat, probably vomiting as he drank. Giving him so much whiskey would prove to be a death sentence, Regis knew, for he had seen many such walking corpses in his previous life in Kalimport. The grandfather hadn't done Ivorbreen any favors, surely, whatever deal they might have made. Regis chewed his lip and considered the anger simmering inside him. He had to do something, had to take some action. But what? And how? This was Pericolo Topolino, after all, the grandfather of assassins. Regis wandered the streets that night, using oysters to bribe the halflings he found milling around, and soon enough found himself in the alleyway beside the house of Pericolo. Morata Topolino, it was called. A beautifully appointed, modestly sized home with sweeping balconies and railings decorated with hand-carved balusters. It stood 3 stories high, but halfling-sized, which made it about as tall as the average 2-story human house. In the middle of the roof was another room, a 4th story, known as the Widow's Walk, for it looked out, far down the hill, over the vast sea of fallen stars, affording a long view to those desperately searching for returning vessels, a constant, mournful reminder to those whose spouses never returned. He moved around to the main street and the house's gate, which was locked. He looked around for some doorbell, a horn, or a large clapper, but found none. He thought of going over the fence, but shook his head, remembering the identity of the owner. He looked up at the structure and thought to shout out. It was late, but no matter. What did he care, after all? In that moment, he noted movement in one window, and watched as the lovely form of a young halfling lass drifted past it, half-dressed at most. The image stunned him, though through the lace curtains the woman seemed more like a ghost, a mirage, a fantasy. She blew out the candle in the room, and there was only darkness, breaking the spell.
"Grandfather,"
the halfling diver whispered derisively, shaking his head and wondering what he might do next. He thought to toss the bag of oysters over the gate, but stopped himself, and wisely, for they would be ruined laying out there before morning, surely, and would probably be gathered up by a raccoon or some other nighttime scavenger.